Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs, and this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And thank you so much for listening. It is November 4th, 2015, and we have a show all about school breakfast and school nutrition, how it affects the students. It was set up by my good buddy Jimmy Minicello over at AASA, the School Superintendents Association. We've got two superintendents with us, the assistant superintendent over in Meriden, Connecticut. That's Mark Venini's district, okay? We have Michael Grove with us, and also we got Rodney Watson, who's the superintendent down in Spring Independent School District in Houston, Texas. And I have to tell you right off the bat that I am suffering an attack of something called Bell's palsy this week. And while it goes away on its own, basically my face is crooked. And so is since my mouth is on my face, so is my mouth crooked. So I may be slurring a couple of words, and I apologize for that. I'm fine. Half my face looks like Brad Pitt, and the other half looks like Shrek right now. So my wife says it simply adds to my never-ending appeal. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio. Follow us over there. We already tweeted it out a couple of times, and we're going to do it some more. I already had my breakfast, but we're going to find out why it's so important for schools. Let me bring on our two superintendents, and I want to thank our good friends over at KnowledgeWorks, KnowledgeWorks.org, for sponsoring today's show. They offer a portfolio of innovative education approaches and advancing aligned policies. They seek to activate and develop the capacity of communities and educators to build and sustain vibrant learning ecosystems that allow each student to thrive. It's all explained to superintendents and other educators at KnowledgeWorks.org. They have the New Tech Network, EdWorks, Strive Together. I just did a show with them last week. KnowledgeWorks works every day to build an educational community for today and for the future. Great information at KnowledgeWorks.org, and they tweet at KnowledgeWorks. Okay, first of all, I'll say good morning, and he's got to carry a good morning over to his boss, Mark Venini, the one and only Mike Grove, assistant superintendent in Meriden School District in Meriden, Connecticut. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me on this morning.
It's a pleasure, and I apologize for the spitting sounds as I speak.
No problem.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, actually. It's actually the most hysterical thing to get in the world. Okay. Rodney, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing this morning?
I have Bell's palsy. How are you?
Doing okay.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Dr. Watson, it is a pleasure to meet you. Tell us about Spring Independent School District near Houston, Texas.
Yeah, so Spring Independent School District is located north in the northwest part of Houston. It's a suburb of Houston. We serve about 37,000 diverse students.
Wow. 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 How long have you been superintendent?
I've been here in Spring ISD for about 16 months.
Cool. Congratulations. It's a new job. How are things going?
Things are going great. We have a great team. We have a great parent in the community, and we're moving forward with our new five-year plan.
Well, it sounds to me like it's a win-win. They got you, and you got them. It sounds just great.
Absolutely.
Okay? Terrific. And continued good fortune to you, Dr. Watson. Michael, how's things in Meriden these days? And a big hello to Mark.
Good. Sure, I definitely will say hello to Mark after this conversation. Yeah, so Meriden is an urban school district in the middle of Connecticut between Hartford and New Haven. We have about 8,500 students, 12 schools, 2 high schools, 2 middle, 8 elementary. And currently, since we're talking about breakfast, 68% of our students qualify for free or reduced lunch in our district currently.
Mm, isn't that amazing? How many in yours, Dr. Watson, Rod? Can I call you Rod, or do you like Dr. Watson? What are you going to call you, Rodney?
You can call me Rodney. That's great.
Rodney it is. Rodney, what about the free or reduced in your school district?
Yeah, so right now we have a little over 70% of our students qualify for free and reduced lunch. This year we are doing a program where all of our students in elementary and middle school and one of our high schools get free breakfast and lunch every day because of the number of free and reduced lunch students we have.
Isn't it amazing? And where'd you grow up, Rod, just out of curiosity, Rodney?
I grew up in Missouri, right outside of the Kansas City area.
Okay, and what about you, Mike? Are you a Connecticut guy?
I'm a Connecticut guy. I grew up in Hamden, Connecticut, so it's only like 15 minutes from where I'm currently working in Meriden. So I haven't traveled that far.
That's all right. That's all right. Connecticut's pretty good, I got to tell you. You know, when I was a kid, and I was a kid before you guys were a kid, okay, in Philadelphia, there was never any talk of free and reduced anything, all right? And it just wasn't a factor. And I'm curious, Rodney, was it a factor when you were growing up as a young kid? Michael, was it a factor with you? Because, it's something that has really changed, and that's why the school breakfast conversation is so important. Just think back, Rodney, when you were a kid, okay? Was there free and reduced stuff and whatever?
Yeah, so there were. I do remember free and reduced lunch opportunities for students, but it wasn't a factor as large as it is right now. I think over the years it's grown. I think some of the areas where it wasn't a factor in many school districts because of the economics then are now based upon changes of neighborhoods, changes of demographics and jobs with some of the parents.
And poverty, is killing us. Yeah. Mike?
Yeah, and so in Meriden, just like we're at 68% now, but we've been tracking up like a percent or a percent and a half of free and reduced students every year. So about 20 years ago, we were only at like 40%. So now we moved up to 68%. Yeah, so as it's kind of over time, poverty and the qualifications for it has increased in our district. You know, our demographics has changed.
It's one of the most incredible demographic statistics that we can come up with. It's bad, and B, it's just something we really have to consider. And God bless you guys in the school districts for giving the kids what they need in terms of nutrition. We're going to talk about school breakfast in particular. But people today grow up with this. We never did, sort of. And it's just amazing. We're going to talk about school breakfast. By the way, I got to thank AASA, obviously, for bringing us today's show. Okay, they tweeted AASA, and it's AASA.org. School breakfast in alternative ways, serving breakfast in the classroom, in the hallways, okay? It's not just about food. It also helps the learning, all right? And it's just incredible. And I know you guys are working with or AASA is working with the Walmart Foundation. So I'm going to start with Rodney. Rodney, down in Spring, outside of Houston, okay, how did your district get involved with AASA to increase breakfast participation?
Well, we are always looking for opportunities that partner with organizations around the initiatives that we have. And as you know, breakfast is an extremely important part of the day. And so when we found that an organization, AASA, was actually partnering through funds through the Walmart Foundation to offer breakfast opportunities for students, we had to jump on it. One of the things that we're always working on is finding out ways that we can increase attendance. And we know the studies show that kids who skip breakfast, they're often tardy and absent from school, and more often than children that get breakfast on a regular basis. And so we saw this as a wonderful partnership of being able to offer breakfast to students who need it. You know, we're really wanting them to make sure that they're getting their regular refueling every morning so they can come to school and be ready for learning.
Same story in Meriden, Mike?
Yeah, so in Meriden, what we found out is we had a big participation in our lunch program from our free and reduced, but only half of those same students would take our breakfast in the morning. So we had a big drop-off in breakfast. You know, I mean, the same students are getting free lunch, only half of them were selecting our breakfast options. So that's why we got together looking for different options and different ways to serve breakfast. That's why we applied for the ASA Walmart Foundation grant to kind of change our traditional breakfast method that was in the cafeteria, that you had to come in before school, you went to the cafe, you got your breakfast, and afterwards you went to class, to more of this model that you just discussed, breakfast in the classroom, grab and go. So we used the funding from Walmart to kind of change how we're serving breakfast in our buildings.
And when you say breakfast in the classroom, what does that mean? Does that mean first period or before first period?
So in Meriden,
Rodney, you go.
Okay. So in Spring, that really is happening before school and into the very first part of school. So for us, we have six elementary schools that are serving breakfast in the classroom. through a grab-and-go breakfast in four high schools and middle schools. And so for us, that may be set up through kiosks that are located throughout the schools and our middle schools, where kids come into the building and those kiosks that are set up and are able to go and grab healthy snacks, healthy breakfasts, or go through the traditional line. Now, in our elementary schools, they are actually being served in their classrooms, and so they're actually going to their main classroom, and they're sitting down with their peers and their teachers, and they're sitting down having breakfast as they start their morning routine, and it's been great. It's really helped with attendance in terms of getting kids in the classrooms, building relationships with their teachers, as well as the participation rates.
Yeah, it's really nice, but I must ask you, Rodney, and I'm going to ask Mike the same thing, and this is a terrible question, but I'm curious about it. Is there any stigma attached when these kids who are obviously somehow in poverty, missing a bit of nutrition, they grab their breakfast, the other kids perhaps have eaten at home? Do you see any kind of stigma or social situation with it at all?
No, we haven't seen that at all. I mean, you know, when you're going to those middle schools and high schools in particular, kids can't get enough food. So a lot of the kids have eaten breakfast and they come to school and eat again. Not at all. In our elementary schools, we provide free breakfast for all students. And so every student that comes to the door is offered a meal, and everyone is sitting there eating. And it's interesting that even some of the teachers are sitting there eating with the kids. And so it's really become more of a community setting and foster community conversations at the very beginning of the day, where everyone's sitting down talking while they're eating and getting ready for the day.
What a great way to start the day. Mike, any thoughts on that in Meriden, Connecticut?
Sure. So what we did find, though, from interviewing teachers and our students was the old traditional method when the students had to come off the bus, ate in the cafeteria. We did see the stigma, and kids would not go to the caf because they want to be known as the students in our district that couldn't afford breakfast, couldn't eat at home.
Yeah.
So this changed, just like they did in Texas. It's really helping us because now students don't feel the stigma. Everybody's grabbing it because kids are hungry, you know, coming off the bus, paid kids, non-paid students, they're all hungry. And so by seeing more students or a larger number of students eating in the classroom, that stigma has gone away. And we have seen, like, in 1 month, a 35% increase in the number of students selecting breakfast. With that increase, we were able to now go to universal free breakfast in our elementary schools and make it affordable for us. So now just all eight of our elementary schools, students aren't charged any longer for breakfast any longer, but our middle schools and high schools are still paid and unpaid students.
Okay, that's good. And by the way, what's for breakfast? Rodney, what was for breakfast today for the kids?
So
not yours.
You know, the favorite breakfast that all kids love is the cereal and Pop-Tarts. They can't get away from that. But a lot of our kids are also enjoying the mini cinnamon rolls and pancakes. We have pancake and sausage on a stick and chicken biscuits. So there's a variety of things that kids love to eat. But every time we have cereal and Pop-Tarts, I don't care what it is, kids always want Pop-Tarts.
And I have a feeling the fried chicken is not part of the Meriden breakfast. Would I be correct, Mike?
No, yeah. So the breakfast is, most of it's non-perishable foods in the breakfast setting. We do, like, for the grab-and-goes and to the satellite stations we have set up around the building. It's really the cereal, the Pop-Tarts are probably our biggest two hits. In our high schools now, we just started smoothies. You know, kids couldn't go and grab a smoothie now. And, you know, the berry, cherry, or orange Julius, so they could grab a little smoothie and go. And that's becoming a hit now at our high schools.
What? This is incredible. So I may stop over for breakfast next time I'm driving through Meriden. This is good.
Right? Yeah, it's good stuff.
It is great stuff. When nutrition happens like this, and Rodney, let me go back to you. The kids are more alert. Obviously, tell me what's happening in the school, because we're not only concerned. Although you're serving food to the kids, and God bless you guys for doing that, and Walmart Foundation as well, okay, for helping you all along, all right? What's the impact on education? What are the teachers telling you?
So, of course, in implementing this year, some teachers were a little bit apprehensive at first because you're talking about having breakfast in their classroom and it's something else that they have to do, and they were concerned about the spiels. Just recently walking through the classrooms and talking with a lot of our elementary teachers, It's been phenomenal. They've had a great response. As I said earlier, kids are coming to school. We have an increase up to 82% participation in our Breakfast in the Classroom schools. And it's really interesting sitting down with the teachers, and they're able to have conversations, more than just academic conversations with kids in the morning, where kids are being open to conversations. They're being open to sharing information about what happened to them in the evening before, or they can talk about some of the things that are going to be happening that morning in the school. A lot of teachers are taking advantage of it and beginning some of their academic work by reading to the kids and or providing a read-aloud to kids during that time as well. They also reported that the environment is a lot calmer in the morning because kids come in, they put their backpacks up, they grab their breakfast, and they sit down and start eating versus running into the classroom and trying to get things set up and get going. And so we had a very positive response from not only our students but our teachers. They've not had spills. In the first couple of days, they had a few spills, but overall, it's been a very positive momentum that's building in the district.
Yeah, and I love the spills. The spills are part of breakfast, by the way. I spilled my coffee this morning. Teachers understand that. Okay. How about in Meriden, Mike?
Sure. So I was just at Hanover Elementary School the other day, and that was one of our biggest increases. We used to serve about 150 breakfasts a day, and since we went to grab and go, we're up to about 500 per day. It's a 700 student elementary school, and the teacher said some of the same things Rodney said. It was students are now ready to work at the opening bell because they already have their breakfast, they're sitting down, they're all together as a community getting ready to start their school day. In our old method, students would come in off the bus, go to the caf, sit down, eat, and they would trickle in as the day started because we would allow them to eat, and their whole class wouldn't get there until after the bell. So teachers found they're able to start right when the school day starts. Students are calmer now. Everybody's having breakfast. It's a calm way to begin your school day. And it just has been very positive district-wide.
Is there any negative, Mike?
You know, I guess the negative is not to our teachers or our students. The negative has been because of the large amount of increase of breakfast that we have to increase in our kitchens, the storage areas. We just can't hold all the food that we're serving right now. So we got more deliveries, the custodial staff has to take out more deliveries. So it's harder in the back end, but we're working to increase our storage for this increased food that we're serving. So that's probably the only, I wouldn't even say it's a negative, but just it's an outcome of, you know, increasing 35% breakfast every day. You got to find somewhere to put the food when it comes in every week.
Yes, you do indeed. What about down there in Texas, Rodney?
I wouldn't say there's any overt negative items. You know, with the change in providing kiosks in our secondary schools, the locations for the kiosks provide opportunities for kids to have food in other areas, not just the cafeteria. And so in working with all of our staff to make sure that we have enough trash cans in locations so the kids are able to put their items in the trash cans that are just not necessarily in the cafeteria. And so those types of things are just planning things, and we're working out those things as we speak.
That's excellent. And what has been, Rodney, the community reaction?
I think the community has been overwhelmingly supportive. I mean, this year, as I indicated, we have gone to Universal Breakfast in all over 25 of our elementary schools, all of our middle schools, and one of our high schools. And so the parents are extremely supportive that their kids are able to participate in our meal service program without any additional cost. But in addition to that, our school communities have really taken hold of this. I mean, traditionally, teachers take their kids down to the cafeteria and they see our child nutrition workers and they smile and move on. Now, our child nutrition workers, we have a great team, they're able to be in the classrooms where the kids are and the teachers are. There's more conversations between our teachers and our child nutrition department, and so it's really turned into a win-win.
And I must ask you, when you say child nutrition department, is that what I would call the, I'm half making a joke here, the lunch ladies?
Yes.
Or are there full-time nutritionists on board?
There are individuals that work in our cafeterias.
Okay, and I remember the old days when I was in school, they were the lunch ladies. We couldn't have gone on without them, for goodness sakes. You guys remember that?
Yes.
Okay, what about the community response up in Meriden, Michael?
So we did a lot of outreach before this started. We created a central office team, and we had school-based teams to help promote this in the district. And just last week, we had our visit from the AASA, Kelly Beckwith, and she was in it. Kelly was out there from... Okay, she was out there, and what she told us a story about, she was eating supper one day, and her waitress just started talking to her about our breakfast program. She said the waitress didn't even have somebody in her schools, but they got talking about breakfast, and she was so excited about the different offerings that we have in Meriden now, about breakfast, grab and go, in the high schools, universal free in elementary. So it's just even our community is very behind what's going on in our schools and the alternate way students are eating. So I think, you know, it made us proud that our outreach is actually reaching not only our parents, but our greater community.
I think it's wonderful. I have to ask you both. I'll stick with you, Mike, to start off. Both of you mentioned Pop-Tarts, okay? And, you know, Pop-Tarts are sweet. I love Pop-Tarts. Please don't misunderstand this. And kids love them, too. And actually, everybody loves them. Well, was there any controversy at all? And I'll just ask Mike, then I'll go to Rodney, with serving something so sweet, which I think is delicious, by the way. But,
okay,
yeah.
I mean, just so, you know, our students aren't really listening, but everything follows the federal guidelines for nutrition about the amount of sugar, about an amount of whole wheat in all the products that we serve. So these aren't just normal Pop-Tarts you would actually buy at home. These are made specially and formulated specially to be healthier, look like the Pop-Tarts you have at your schools. So that way students, when they see them, they recognize, you know, oh, I understand. This is a Pop-Tart. I like Pop-Tarts. And they go grab them. But they're formulated differently to be acceptable by the food and nutrition program at our schools in the federal guidelines.
That's interesting. Same thing down in the Spring, Texas?
Yes, it's absolutely the same thing. You know, our kids, it's all about the packaging, and kids love Pop-Tarts, and they love anything that's perceived to be sweet, but it would be the same for us as a Meriden. They do meet the nutritional value that we're required to, and so we follow all of those guidelines as well.
It's fascinating stuff, I have to tell you. Who plans the menu? And I'm curious, like, do you serve oatmeal and that kind of thing, like a little styrofoam cup or anything like that? Who plans it? Rodney.
So we have an excellent director of child nutrition services. She and her team work together to look at the menus. And with our dietitian, they go through and plan the rotation of the menus to make sure that there's variety, but also they pay attention to the statistics regarding what's selling and what kids want. Now, if we had Pop-Tarts and cereal every day, I'm sure we'd sell out, but we're also wanting to plan variety. Over the summer, we also have opportunities for some of our meals for lunch for parents in the community to come in and sample some of the more homemade recipes that meet the nutritional value. And so it was astonishing doing some of our open registrations. Our child nutrition department had samples, and they asked they asked the community to come out and try the samples and to give them feedback to let them know how they tasted. In addition to that, we have culinary arts programs, and so we do solicit them in terms of developing recipes as well, some of our students that meet the nutritional values, so they can also have some of the recipes that they come up with to be part of the meals that are served as well.
And I got to congratulate you for involving your culinary arts. I assume the students and the teachers, okay, in that CTE section for getting involved with this. I think that is absolutely wonderful. Same thing in Meriden, Michael?
Yeah, so the same thing in Meriden. Our director of food services is a registered dietitian, and we have another dietitian on staff that plan out our meals every week and every month. And we do the same thing. We try to rotate meals through. So the students don't, you know, it doesn't get stale. Students know, like, certain days of the week, there's certain breakfasts, so they could, you know, there's their favorite item to make sure they come to school and eat those days. But we're also getting to, we're trying to serve some hot, we got to the point now we're going to try to look at some hot menu items. We have, so far, it's been mostly cold items we've been serving, the grab and goes and breakfast on the go. So we're going to try, as this year goes on, to find some items that are heated for students.
Yeah, like the oatmeal. It just comes to mind.
Like the oatmeal, it'd be like, you know, it'd be like the oatmeal, it'd be like French toast, you know, pancakes, things like those kind of items.
Right. That's great. I remember when I was a kid, they would serve string beans on Wednesday, and the next day as dessert, we'd have string beans suspended in Jello. Now, I seem to remember yellow Jello. So I'm glad
it changed a little since those days.
I'm glad. I'm absolutely thrilled that has happened. Rodney, how did you? What is the process, so other superintendents who are listening can hear it, that you use through AASA and the Walmart Foundation? What was the process like? How does that application work?
So once we found out about the availability of the grant, a team of individuals within our district got together and went through the process to really identify what was it we were really trying to do. And so we went through a variety of brainstorming sessions to determine what would be feasible for us to do. And then we really thought about what we needed to be able to offer breakfast in the classroom. And so once we finished that process, we came down to that we really needed portable warmers and kiosks to be able to meet the needs of the goals that we had within the grant. And we also noted that we needed portable cash sharing equipment so kids would not have to go to the cafeteria with their cards and their coins, that they could go through with the portable equipment on a tablet and handheld scanners to be able to help that process go a lot faster. And so then we also asked for cooler bags for our milk and juice, so we were limiting the opportunities for people to have to go to the cafeteria or say that it wouldn't work. And so once we really identified what it is that we were doing, we went through the process and we met with AASA. They're excellent in terms of giving feedback. You know, they've done this work before. They've seen best practices across the country. And so they pushed on us a little bit to consider taking a more proactive stance so more kids could have access, and we did just that, and it's been great this year.
That's great. And what about the process for you, Mike, up in Meriden?
So Meriden, we knew we had to increase breakfast, and we had to try to figure a way. In the ASA Walmart Foundation grant, the people at AASA were wonderful helping us write this grant. We came up with a plan, and we were going to roll this out over like 6 or 7 months. And they met with us, and they got together. And they said, look, guys, they want us to condense it to, 2 month rollout. And they gave us suggestions how to make it work. And some of the same things Rodney had in his school that we were able to purchase. We purchased vending machines for our high schools that were able to serve full reimbursable breakfast. We had mobile points of sale stations throughout our district. But it was really the partnership between, the district and AASA that allowed this grant to be written and be so successful in the first couple of months.
And, I would be remiss if I didn't say my wife works at WGBH in Boston, the public television station, and she's in the education department. And they, too, enjoyed a large grant about curriculum from Walmart Foundation. And, a lot of people say bad things about Walmart. I don't. Okay, because I shop there, and most people do shop there, and I like it there. But they are so involved with this kind of thing through their foundation. They deserve a lot of credit, and I'm so glad AASA works with them and has enabled this grant and all this sort of thing. Will the grant continue, Rodney? What happens in the future with all this?
So one of the points that I really appreciate is that AASA, through the Walmart grant, really works with us to create programs that are sustainable within the district. And so that's why when we looked at what we wanted to do, we weren't looking at trying to get additional people, manpower, human capital, to be able to implement programs. We wanted to look at things that we would be able to sustain should funds go away. And so the items that we've purchased through the grant are items that we'll be able to sustain as we move forward. Now, of course, we're always looking for partnerships and always looking for ways to go deeper and include more schools. But what we're doing now through the mentoring through AASA, we've created a process that will be sustainable with the district resources.
Wow, it's incredible. What stands out in your mind, Mike, or the things you've heard from people? What were some of the comments, the anecdotal stories, whatever you want to say, about participating in the breakfast program from custodians, principals, teachers?
I guess overall, probably the biggest thing, they didn't understand no one realized how many students would actually select our breakfast, right? When we first came out and talked about breakfast in the classroom, grab and go, they said, we'll get a 10% increase. There's not that many students that are going to be that are hungry in the morning that will take it in our classrooms.
Right.
It's going to cause disruption because there's only going to be 5 students eating, the 25 we're going to try to work.
Are you kidding me?
And we
They're
found
like
out
locusts.
The exact opposite.
They're like locusts.
It's the exact opposite. Once we made it easier to grab breakfast, you could grab it from vending machines, grab-and-go stations. We're seeing almost, 60 to 70% of our students in our elementary schools are taking breakfast every day. It's really the majority of students are taking it. Our teachers are seeing the students happy that they're eating, And so all the other issues kind of went away because teachers are there for the students in our, any district. Your teacher's there for their kids in their class, and they see how positive this is affecting their students. We had great embrace since the beginning of, this October when we rolled this out.
Great.
This Walmart Foundation grant, really, in the first month, for a small district like ours, 1,400 additional students are eating breakfast every day. You know what I mean? You know, 35% increase in 1 month. This is
wow.
And we're expecting that to increase next month also.
And I want to say, I got to talk about the unsung heroes of every school district, the custodians, okay? And talk to me. I'll start with Mike. Obviously there's an increase, I will say, in trash, okay? Has there been any impact from the custodians?
So there has been an increase in trash, but what we did in our district, instead of putting the trash in the classrooms, we put in trash pails in the hallways that are on rollings. And the students, after they finish eating, they take their grab-and-go meals, they go in the hallway, they dump them in the trash bags in the hallway. And then it sort of saves the custodians from going into, 50 rooms,
oh,
they're grabbing 10 trash pails and wheeling them out. And they've been on board since the beginning. Just some spills we had in the beginning of the year, especially kindergarten and first grade, but it hasn't been a large number of spills to really change any of their jobs. So I think we're doing fine.
And same thing in Texas, as you mentioned before, right, Rod?
Yes, that would be the same thing for Texas.
Yeah, and I'll say it again, the custodians are the unsung heroes. And I know
Absolutely.
You two gentlemen would agree with me. I mean, it's
we
just
agree.
Incredible what they do. I remember when I was a teacher, Rudy, our custodian, always walked around with a scraper because he was always scraping gum. And there was no gum, you never saw gum in the school because he was there all the time. It's a fond memory I have of Rudy. It was just absolutely incredible, you know. So everything you're saying, guys, is positive, okay? And it's easy to walk through the grant, and people should get in touch with AASA, right, and follow through on this. Am I correct?
Yes.
Is there any rational reason?
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this is a partnership. It wasn't just you writing the grant, submitting, and not showing if you're going to receive it. This was really a partnership. You submitted a draft. They came back to us. They talked with us. They worked with us to put something together that would work because they had experience in doing this in the past.
Wow. It's just a wonderful thing. It's truly a win-win. It's just great. It's just great. What can I say? All right? It's wonderful. All right. Guys, you were great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for your time. Thanks.
Wow. Are you kidding me? Thank you for your time, superintendents. Okay? I appreciate it because I know how busy you are, gentlemen. Okay? Rodney Watson, Michael Grove, thanks a million, guys.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks, Larry. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was Rodney Watson and Michael Grove. Okay? Rodney Watson, doctor, is the superintendent at Spring Independent School District in Houston, Texas, right outside of Houston. Mike Grove's at Meriden, Connecticut. He's the assistant superintendent of finance and administration. Okay? And AASA.org, they tweeted AASA. Superintendent, school dietitians, whatever, start to work with them. Get in touch. This thing works. It's important for your kids. It makes a better school, and it increases learning. And it's a win-win. I'm telling you, it's a win-win. It's just unbelievable. And get those culinary students involved. I love this. This is just great. It's just amazing. Boy, this is one of the great changes in education, I got to tell you. We conquer poverty by making these kids eat and be healthy, etc. It's wonderful. I got to thank my good friends over at KnowledgeWorks at KnowledgeWorks.org for sponsoring today's show. They tweeted KnowledgeWorks. I did a show with them last week with their Strive Together unit, which was wonderful. They have the New Tech Network. They have EdWorks. They're just a wonderful company based out of Cincinnati, and I hope you get in touch with them. KnowledgeWorks.org. Okay, they really want to reach superintendents and other educators. You can. I love this phrase. They try to sustain vibrant learning ecosystems that allow each student to thrive. KnowledgeWorks.org. Check it all out. All right, Jimmy Minicello, thank you for helping put together today's show, which we're going to archive at education-talkradio.org and tweet out a direct link at EduTalkRadio. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thank you for listening, and thank you to wonderful superintendents.